Living Theology Friends, 1109, February the 27th, 2011. The Church, 8, Obeying Authorities. We've looked at how Christians interact with governing authorities. Now we will look at this. This is not necessarily a topic that some people are going to like, I think, because people often like to criticize governing authorities. But let's pay close attention to these verses. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to do you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Paul first makes clear that all authority is from God. God set up the authorities on earth to enforce his laws. Everyone who resists this authority is in opposition to God. And everyone who opposes these laws and authorities stand convicted and subject to punishment. Paul is telling us that God has established laws and authorities on earth to enforce his laws and thus perpetuate his common grace upon all of mankind. If it were not for this common grace and the laws and authorities he establishes, the world would quickly have returned to the state it was at the time of Noah. In fact, even with common grace, protection, laws, and authority that God provides, Scripture tells us that one day, mankind will return to the evil state which existed at the time of Noah, Matthew 24, verses 35 to 39. We're certainly seeing the corrosion of authority set up by God as man again tends to do according to his own values rather than as demanding by God. Those who resist these laws and authorities are resisting God and will receive the judgment of God. I hear a lot of people complaining about the authorities that God has placed over us now, and such complaining is ultimately about what God has done. There are reasons why God has placed the present leaders over us, and we need to be trying to understand those reasons. God has remained in plan A since before the foundation of the world. He does not make mistakes or change his mind. Whenever we start to complain about the authorities, we should quickly remember about whom we are complaining, God. The President of the United States has recently told the Attorney General to not enforce the law about marriage being only between one man and one woman. This is the Defense of Marriage Act, passed in 1996. We know that his action is not biblical, but he is our president. But we know that we are to obey God rather than men when what men tell us contradicts the word of God, Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. So what is our appropriate reaction as Christians to this presidential order? We must respect the office of president and recognize that God put him in that office. However, his position on this matter is clearly against God's rule. We must continue to support the concept of marriage as instituted by God, and we should ask our congressmen to overthrow this presidential order and obey the law as it now stands. Christians can also pray for God to put someone in the office of president in the 2012 elections who supports his law, but we should be careful in complaining against the current president. If we have not been a lawbreaker, we have no fear of God's enforcer. Fear is for the lawbreaker who knows that indeed he has been caught and he is accountable. We should thank God for the police who are here to protect us as long as we all are obedient to the laws of the land. But for the ones who are breaking the laws, they certainly should feel fear. Bearing the sword is a phrase that authorizes a death penalty, for the purpose of the sword is to bring death. It can also be a phrase meaning a weapon to force the lawbreaker into prison or other place where the person cannot hurt the people obeying the laws. In both cases, the bearer of the sword is a person who is God's enforcer on the earth to enforce his laws. We should all respect those people who are appointed by God to catch the lawbreakers and those who are to enforce our laws according to the penalties of the crimes. All of this law and order is established by God as part of his common grace for all mankind. The real woe will be upon the world when law and order is corroded by the wills of people who change the laws to be against God's law. Then the world will have returned to the time of Noah, and the next judgment of God will be severe and final. The rulers of our country are established by God, and the tax structure of the country pays for the enforcement of God's laws. Therefore, we pay taxes gladly rather than complain about them, because here also we are acting in obedience to God. Romans 13:7 should remind us of something said by our Lord, Mark 12:17. Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed at him. So when we are paying our taxes, we also must remember to give to God. The children of God are not motivated to obey the laws and authorities of God just because of the fear of the wrath of the authorities, but we want to obey the laws and authorities of God because they indeed represent Him. We obey because we love God, and our hearts and consciences are turned toward the law and love of God. We obey out of gratitude for what God has done for us in the double imputation process, and we are awed that God has taken our sinful state and turned us into pure, holy children of God before Him. Even though we are no longer sinners, meaning those who practice sin, we still sin, and we must develop a conscience that longs to obey God because we love Him. A desire to obey God flows naturally from a life devoted to Jesus. John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," said our Lord. John 14:21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Second John 1:6, "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments." This is the commandment, just as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So obedience to God marks us as his children. We don't obey to be his children. We obey because we are his children. May God richly bless each of you in this week. In Jesus' name, amen.